Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, October 4th, 2023, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprouts. You can also check out my Facebook page and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Okay, so update on me and my health. I was away for a week. I went to Florida, and that was really nice. As you can see, I have my Venice, Florida turtle t-shirt, Venice Island, which I got a couple of trips ago, but I still thought I'd wear it today. And it's so nice to go to Florida because I get to go to the beach and I get to be in the sand. I get to spend time with my mom, and I had a very relaxing week. We really didn't do very much. There was a lot of laying about and a couple of trips to the beach. There were no trips to the pool because the pool was closed. That was very disappointing because my mother would have gone to the pool. She doesn't like to go to the beach because it's hard for her to walk on the sand, and she doesn't want the dirt of the sand. She doesn't want to bring the sand home. I don't mind that. But the pool was unfortunately closed, so we couldn't go there together. So we watched some interesting TV together. We watched The Devil in Ohio, which starred Emily Deschanel and this cool newcomer named Madeline Arthur. And it was a rough limited series on Netflix, and it had poor Madeline Arthur escaped from Madeline Arthur's character, May, escaped from a devil-worshipping cult. So interesting times ensued. So it was a whole thing, and maybe you might be interested in watching it. It's a little upsetting, so if you're prone to being upset, you may not want to watch it. But it was interesting. We got through it. My mom wanted to watch it. My mom watches. She takes more risks in what she likes to watch than I do. I like to watch lighter, funnier things and sciencey things. And she will watch crimey things and scary things.
Crimey things. Yes.
That's a thing. So in terms of my health, I had to take it really easy because I was having up and down dysautonomia flares while I was there. And my symptoms are, you know, the classic lightheadedness where I need to lie. I feel better lying down, orthostatic intolerance, and I get tremors. So we're not clear if I have some chronic Lyme in the mix, and I'm treating for that. I finished an antibiotic. Now I'm taking herbs for Lyme, and I'll get into some stuff around Lyme either this week or next week. It's been kind of up and down, unfortunately, and dysautonomia / POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, which I'm not clear if I have. I mean, there appears to be a dysautonomia aspect to what I have going on, and there's an orthostatic intolerance piece. So I'm assuming I have POTS. And the thing with POTS is the term is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. Everybody is different who has POTS, and their symptom picture can be different. And as far as what I have going on, it seems to track with that. And I may still have to go get some good diagnosis from some kind of a physician, at least my PCP and maybe the neurologist. I'm not sure. I have to figure it out. The things that help are rest, meditation, deep breathing, and there are different kinds of POTS, and the kind of POT, if I have it, the kind that I have is probably hyperadrenergic POTS, where you release a lot of norepinephrine and epinephrine, and your blood pressure goes up, not down. So that seems to be my cross to bear, if you will. So I'm working on it. I've got water with electrolytes in it right here, which you're supposed to drink all the time. I haven't tried the compression socks. I'm trying to, and the reason you wear compression socks is because it helps with venous return. It helps to return blood to your head so you don't feel so lightheaded. I haven't tried that yet, and I may. Of course, putting your feet up can be helpful. Lying down is helpful. And in terms of the orthopedics, my back is very good. The only thing that's really left is a little bit of soreness in my knee, and I still have that reduced sensation in the left side of my left leg. Otherwise, my orthopedics are very good. I don't have nerve pain. Really don't have pain. Pain is pain. I mean, I get a little sore in the knee, and that's it. I'm able to walk. I'm able to I'm technically able to ride a bike, but I'm not exerting myself with exercise because of the POTS flares. So that's what's going on. And what I'll probably do is I'll do a piece here and talk about it in depth about POTS and what it is and what to expect and how it gets diagnosed and all that stuff. And some things that can be helpful for it. All right. So let's talk about some nice, gentle things today. I want to start off with the health benefits of being outdoors. I've talked about this before, but I spent time outdoors, and even when I'm inside here, I feel better if the windows are open, as long as it's not too cold. And we have to keep opening and closing the windows now because it's going down to the 40s at night, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So and I saw a funny piece on the internet that somebody posted. This is the time of year when New Englanders try to see how long they can go without turning on the heat.
Absolutely.
And Ron is totally up for that, which is very funny.
I am totally up for that.
Totally up for that. And one of the reasons is we're about to get a heat pump. So so he doesn't want to turn on the furnace because the furnace is going away and we're getting this heat pump. And we're getting the heat pump in the next 2 weeks, right?
And there's hardly any oil in the tank. So I don't want to put more oil in the tank because it's being removed from the building.
Right.
So we really want to get it as empty as possible.
So we're going to go without heat until we get the heat pump.
We'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's only, we're going to have it in the next 2 weeks, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's fine. So you know what? That's what blankets and sweatshirts are for. And anyway, if you have POTS/dysautonomia, excessive heat isn't good for you. And I know I feel better in the cold. If I get overheated, I don't feel good. And that's basically any neurological condition, but especially POTS. If you get overheated, your autonomic nervous system has trouble regulating your body temperature. So erring on the cold side is better. So I'm probably going to go into October in shorts and t-shirts longer than I ever have. And wearing t-shirts wearing short sleeves at work and not wearing sweaters and, you know, having to stay cool because that helps because excessive heat is aggravating. And yet if it gets really cold, you don't feel, even so, you know, it's nice to have some heat. So, I will keep you posted on this condition because I'm going through it personally and I have a personal experience with it, and it behooves me to learn everything I can about it, and then it behooves me to teach you about it. So stay tuned for more on POTS because I'll probably give regular updates on it. Okay, so let's go to the health benefits of being outdoors, which is something I love to do. We are very fortunate because every week you hear me saying to you, we're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. And it really is beautiful. we live right near the power lines and you can walk down the power lines and the Blue Dot Trail crosses the power line. So we can go, what direction would that be? What direction are we? Is our house facing? Do you know?
That is south, okay. To the left of
all
us.
All right. So that's
left,
south. That's
to
north.
The left of you. North,
so that's west.
Is there. So if you were to go south on the Blue Dot Trail, then you would be heading out towards the Natchog River.
Right.
The trail basically
towards North
ends.
Windham. Right.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
If you were to go north or to the right,
you go to
the
Blue Dot,
you can go to Massachusetts.
Well, eventually.
Eventually,
yeah. Yes.
Right.
But sooner, you can go to the boat launch.
Right.
You can go to your George's Beach.
And you can play in our little 2,300-acre wonderland here.
Yeah, it's really lovely.
Nice.
So we have outdoors right there. Even our backyard is very nice. When the weather is warm enough, I like to do yoga in the yard. And I will actually take my tablet outside and do yoga classes in the yard, whether by YouTube or I'll do live Zoom classes from Yono or Samadhi or somewhere else. And I do it right in the yard. I set up my mat and I get all my props and I put on bug spray. Of course, I put on bug spray. I don't want to get bitten by a tick again. So, and then Ron doesn't like the smell of my bug spray, so I have to wash it off when I get inside.
I must be a bug.
And the bug spray, I mean, it's really good bug spray. It's all natural essential oil bug spray. It's really good. So go figure. But he doesn't like the way it smells because it is pretty intense. It's got a bunch of things in it, like it has geranium oil and citronella and peppermint and a bunch of things. And it's pretty intense. So, and I get the extra strength one because that's the one that keeps away the ticks. All right. So, you know, Mother Nature doesn't have TV, air conditioning, and Wi-Fi. And I must say, one of the things I noticed that when I was at my mother's house, my mother's condo is very, very dry. I always notice that when I'm staying there, I tend to drink a lot of water. I drink as much water as I can here. And here I am doing my water with electrolytes. But I drink more when I'm there. Because one of the reasons is she has a fridge that has cold water and ice. So it's very easy to just top off the ice all the time and keep drinking. But I realized that it's super dry in her house. What I didn't do is look to see if she has a thermostat that says the percent humidity in her condo. But it's very dry there. I noticed that when I hang clothes up to dry, they're dry in less than a day. That does not happen here. Happens sometimes of year, like when the heat is on, it's more likely to happen. But our house is not nearly that well sealed, and our house is more damp. And Connecticut, I don't know that Connecticut is more damp. I think that Florida is very humid.
It is.
But she has a really powerful air conditioner.
She lives in air conditioning. She's got it on 24/7.
Yes.
So it's always going to be this false air in the house.
Right.
And we do not live in our air conditioning because we don't necessarily need to for the most part.
No, but. And I really like the fresh air. And I especially like the fresh air because we live in the woods. And because we live in the woods, we have all these trees and plants and stuff all around us. And so they're giving off oxygen, and they're giving off phytonicides, which are the compounds that trees and plants give off that are antimicrobial, and they're good for you. And we're getting the negative ions from the trees as well. So those are good for your health, and they're anti-inflammatory, they're detoxifying. And when we open the windows, it always smells so much nicer in here when, you know, indoor air has dust and mold. And, you know, our house, because it's not so well sealed, there's probably some level of dust and mold in the house. And when we open the windows, that gets a lot better. So anyway, getting outside helps your health and your physical and mental health in a lot of ways. Without greenery around, even sunlight and fresh air can help you feel better. So here's some specific ways that being outside can help you. First of all, you breathe better when you're outside. Although there's air pollution outside that can trigger allergies, asthma, and respiratory illnesses, indoor air is 2 to 5 times higher in pollutants and allergens than outdoor concentration. So getting outside, even if you have allergies, is actually better for you. Although one could argue that if you have a well-filtered house and it's tree pollen season and you're allergic to tree pollen, you're probably going to feel worse outside. So, and that's when air conditioning can be helpful if your house doesn't have a lot of, you know, dust and mold and stuff in it. But in general, in our house anyway, being outside, you're going to get away from that. And this time of year, there's still some allergens out there. Like if you check your weather apps to see what allergens are still present outside, you're going to be seeing the plants still have some flowers on them. So you're going to be seeing some ragweed, and you're going to be seeing some mugwort. The mugwort is crazy out here. There's so much mugwort out here. And I have friends who told me, just bring the mugwort in and hang it up and let it dry and just drink it as tea. I can't believe it. And I bought some mugwort tea, and they laughed at me. I'm like, why did you do that? It grows everywhere. And so I may go out and look at the, and I had a couple of friends. I had Amy, my office manager, my friend, and my friend Annette from high school, who lives just up the road. And I'm pointing up because, you know, when you go to Brimfield is up. She lives just
north,
you know,
dear.
Yes,
north.
She's just north of me. And she said, oh, I just cut the mugwort and hang it and drink it, let it dry. I don't put the flowers in, just the leaves, and I just dry it and drink it. And so I should pay attention to that. I mean, it would not be hard to go out because we have so much of it. I should show you which the mugwort is.
So I would pick it for you.
Well, you can if you want to. You should just know what it is, because a few years ago we had Sue Cody come, and Sue Cody is this lovely person who, she does a bunch of things, and she's very involved in very high quality essential oils. And she came to our show a few years ago, and she had us sample some of her essential oils by scent, and she wanted us to pick out our favorite ones. And it was interesting, because mine came up as white sage, and Ron's came up as mugwort. And I thought that was very funny, because I'm the Sagittarius, right? And Sagittarians love to travel, and you're not going to find white sage here. Having said that, mugwort is an Artemisia. It's Artemisia vulgaris. And white sage is probably salvia. But sage doesn't grow here. Sage grows in the Southwest. So of course I would pick a plant that's very bright and fresh and doesn't grow here. Ron picked one that grows like crazy in our backyard, which made perfect sense, because he's Mr. Taurus and he likes his home, and he, mm-hmm. he likes to be home, and he likes to spend his time in his home.
Well, it's the right place to be.
It's the right place to be. Being home is better than being anywhere.
Yeah.
And what was missing while I was away?
Franny was missing.
I was missing, and that's wrong, because Fran belongs in the house.
That's correct.
Fran is part of the home.
That is correct.
Yeah. So so it's very nice to be back with my man. Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah, so very, very happy to be home and together, and that's nice. I mean, I must say, I had a wonderful time with my mother. My mother was very indulgent. She really was my mom. She really looked after me and took care of me and made sure I was okay and didn't force me to go out to eat when I didn't want to.
She really is your mom, dear. She
really is my mom. She mm-hmm. she behaved like a good mom. It was really terrific. All right. So anyway, spending time outdoors can help lower your risk of respiratory concerns altogether. When you look at the relationship between greenery and mortality risk, people with the least greenery in their neighborhoods don't do as well as people with more greenery. People with more greenery are 34% less likely to die from respiratory diseases. So the freshest air, places with the freshest air, where there's high air circulation, when you're in an open field, it'll give you more relief than resting on a river walled by skyscrapers and factories. Well, that makes sense. So being in a natural environment is going to be healthier for you than being in the concrete jungle. When you spend more time outside, you sleep better. Why? Because your body's internal clock, your circadian cycle, follows the sun. So you feel awake during the day and sleepy at night. So artificial light mimics natural, but sunlight has 200 times the intensity of office lights. So sunlight affects your circadian cycle. So when you expose yourself to sunlight, it can help you to feel more tired at night, which is good. So getting outside really helps your sleep, and it's, part of it is the sunshine. It will shorten your time to fall asleep and improve it. You'll sleep deeper. The quality of your rest will be better. And it doesn't cost anything. All you need to do is step outside. And one of the things is, when we make $1 million, one of the things I would like to have is a sunroom.
They don't cost $1 million.
Sunroom?
No.
Oh,
but,
so
you know,
it would be.
I'm just.
But a sunroom would be a great thing to have, because you know we're in New England and you don't always want to be outside.
Right.
But a lot of people in New England have sunrooms.
Yes, they do.
And it's a great thing. It's just an open room, a room that's relatively open, and you don't put a lot of stuff in it, but you put a lot of windows in it, mm-hmm. so that it lets the natural light in, and it's a place you can spend. You can stay nice and cozy and still be indoors.
It's a great source of passive solar heating and energy, too.
Yeah. So
I'm working on something. We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it later. So I guess Ron has some ideas. Because I would, if I had a sunroom, I would spend time in there. I would doze in there, and I would read books in there, and I would definitely do yoga and meditation in there, and it would be super duper.
Super duper.
Yeah. So getting out in the sun, just walking outside is really good for this. All right. Okay. If you have mood issues, getting outside helps your mood. Light therapy helps major and seasonal depression. And if you get outside, you may notice you feel better in a few days. It if you have major depression, getting outside all by itself may not work, but you could notice some difference in around a month. It takes longer if you just have seasonal depression. Seasonal depression, if you have a circadian cycle thing and then you get in front of some full spectrum light, whether it's indoors or even better, the sun, you're going to feel a lot better sooner. And then there's the protective effects of sunlight. It helps your body make vitamin D. You need the sun to make vitamin D. It's the initial building block of vitamin D is, believe it or not, cholesterol. So if you lower your cholesterol too much, you can be low in vitamin D. So you should be getting your vitamin D levels checked. But you take vitamin D, don't you?
I do.
Yes, right. Yeah. So you should be having your vitamin D screened, and you want to be between 35 to 45 nanograms per milliliter.
It gets screened at all my yearly checkups.
Okay. So. Right. So you want to make sure you're in that sweet spot, because vitamin D is good for cardiovascular health. When you're outside, you might feel more motivated to exercise because it's a nice change of pace. Just being outside is more inspiring than being inside at a gym. Although some people, the gym is where they go and it works for them and they're happy there. And I think that's fantastic. But I am drawn to being outside, hence, you know, walking and cycling and being near water and doing my yoga in the yard. I really love that. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times in quieter poses that are reclined or seated or lying down, you might close your eyes. When I'm in the yard, sometimes I will leave my eyes open because I'm looking at trees, or if I'm lying down, I'm looking up at the sky. I'm looking up at trees in the sky and birds, occasional airplane. It's motivating to be outside because you just feel so good. The air feels so fresh. Looking at nature is soothing. Looking at the green, that color green that you see, that's the color of leaves is the color that our eyes see best. And it's very soothing to our eyes. It's much more soothing than, bright indoor lights. I like to ride a bicycle, and some people like to ski, but you don't have to do that. You can just garden, or you can walk around your yard, or you can do some stretches or yoga in your yard. You could play with your pet. You can even just do ordinary activities outside, like washing your car. Ron has a shed and he messes around in the shed. And you did you cut the grass this week?
No, I did not.
Oh, all right. Okay, because the grass seemed shorter.
But yeah, well, it's no.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
No, working on that too. We have a dead lawnmower, so.
Oh, that's grass, very sad.
Our grass is to be dealt with later.
Okay.
I have other things that are more important right now.
Yeah. All right. So there's a lot of, you get a lot of mental restoration from being outside. Our modern world has a lot of stimuli. We have screens, phones that vibrate, roadways that rumble as we drive on them. They compete for our attention, and we get overstimulated by these things, and that can raise your stress levels without you realizing it. The natural world gives you a refuge from all that stuff. You get to unwind and recharge, and there are soothing attractions. The smell of flowers. When we walk outside and we said, oh, it smells so good out there, we're smelling scents that plants give off, and they're very gentle scents, and they're not obnoxious, and they're things that they're not artificial scents like from your perfumes, from your laundry detergent or your shampoo or your soap. Don't smell as nice as just fresh outdoor air. Because the plants, even the trees, they give off nice scents, and pine scent from real pine trees is very soothing. And we get that here as well. So there's research that suggests that when you spend time in nature, you feel more relaxed and focused, especially if you take time to notice your surroundings. And you could do a walk that's not necessarily for exercise, just a leisure walk in nature. You go slow and contemplative and just walk in the woods and just observe. Don't feel like you have to push yourself. Just go for a walk where you're just looking at the plants and enjoying the scenery and, stopping and checking out plants and stopping and checking out trees. Or you could kayak on a lake. And again, with the kayaking, instead of like trying to get a workout, just go and paddle around and look and see what you see. If you spend time outside, it's helpful for your immune system. There's guidance that says you're less likely to contract the virus that causes COVID-19, also other viruses, when you're outside. Because what did Walter Crinian, may he rest in peace, say? He said that dilution is the solution to pollution. Air circulation dilutes the presence of viruses in the air, and the chances of transmission are almost 20 times higher indoors than outdoors. And spending time outdoors can help your immune system, regardless of whether it's a pandemic or not. The microorganisms in nature aren't dangerous, and they run practice drills with your immune system. So if you walk barefoot in the dirt, you're going to get homeostatic soil organisms on your skin, and your immune system will respond to them and interact with them, and it gives your immune system a workout. And it can help to prepare you for more serious infections. So having good probiotics on board can be helpful for that. If you live in a very sterile environment, your immune system can lose its ability to recognize what's dangerous, and you're more likely to have chronic inflammation. Soap is good, but getting muddy is also good. So getting dirt on you is a good thing. That's why, you know, I enjoy going to the beach and getting the sand on me. It's fine to have sand on you. I did a funny thing. I'll go to the beach and I won't wash my hair for a while because I want the seawater in my hair, and I don't wash my hair until I come home. And then I have sand and sea salt in my hair, and I just like it to stay there for a little while. It's already, if you're curious, if you're looking at me on Facebook Live or Instagram Live, it's already been washed. I washed it yesterday. Because it just takes too long. You know, after a while, you're starting to gather more stuff than is good for you. But I like to leave that that nature stuff in my hair for a little while. And that probably helps my immune system. All right. Protection from short-sightedness. So, and that's literal. If you spend time outside, you're less likely to be nearsighted. What does that mean? There was a study in China. They found kids that spent more time outside were 22% less likely to develop myopia, nearsightedness, than their peers. You're not spending as much time with your face in a screen or your face up in paper. You're looking at a lot of things at a lot of different distances all at once. So you're getting more exercise. You're practicing. When you're outside, you're practicing focusing near and far all the time. Whereas if you're in screens, you're holding up it. Your eyes are straining to stay in one spot. And the other thing about screens is screens have an issue because screens are virtual. They are not, when you have a piece of paper, everything on the piece of paper is fixed. It's not moving. Whereas if you're looking at a screen, screens are virtual. They are made of pixels, and your eyes are constantly resolving what you're looking at on the screen. And that is stressful to your eyes and to your nervous system. So being outside, you don't have to do that. When you're looking at whatever it is you're looking at outside, you don't have to worry about that. And you're obviously not looking at screens. Natural light, you have a richer collection of various light wavelengths to look at, and various colors of things that are going on outside. And as I said already, you're looking at objects from various distances. So you're focusing near and far all the time. It's not stressful to look at plants and trees. It's more stressful to try to focus on a screen. And the outdoor light stimulates your retina to produce dopamine. So that's really good. Dopamine is your feel-good hormone. Dopamine produces pleasure in your body. So when you produce more dopamine in your eye, it helps to prevent your eyeballs from stretching and warping your vision. So having the dopamine on board, your eyes experience pleasure when they are looking outside. They make dopamine, and it makes your eyes more elastic, and you're less likely to have vision problems.
Interesting.
The benefits of being outside preventing eyesight are more apparent when you're a kid rather than into adulthood. If you have the nearsightedness as adulthood, spending outside won't help it too much. But I still have to believe that being outside is, you know, even for regardless of your age, you're still focusing. You're still getting out, away from screens, and you're still getting away from looking at small things in front of you. And when you're outside, you're able to you're just able to exercise your eyes in a way that you can't when you're indoors, regardless of your age. You can feel better emotionally when you go outside. What a shock! So when you spend time outside, it helps you with painful emotions like fear, worry, sadness, and it can promote optimism, peace, and happiness. And when you go outside at night, it can also help you with a sense of awe and connection. So if you go outside in a place where you feel safe, like if I was going to spend time outdoors at night, I would probably not be alone. I would probably go with Ron so he could protect me. Yeah. So what he's going to protect me from, I'm not sure.
I was just going to ask that question.
From bunnies and coyotes and bobcats snakes.
Wild, wild, crazy bunnies.
Yeah. Yeah, we have at least one bunny that visits us every night. He eats his dinner in our yard.
And in the morning, too. He's out there all the time. Oh. Yeah, every time.
There was a while we had two bunnies. Occasionally we have two bunnies, but mostly we have one bunny, and that bunny's getting very big.
That bunny's pretty fat.
Yeah, that's great. Good for the bunny. Well, he wants to eat while there's food, because soon there will be less.
Right.
But he really likes our lawn, because our lawn has diversity. And probably him eating the lawn is good for the plants because the plants can regenerate after he eats them. But I'm very sad that he ate my, I had some brown-eyed Susans that grew. Last year they grew and I had a lot of brown-eyed Susan flowers. They just popped up in the lawn. I think a bird must have dropped off some seeds and we got brown-eyed Susans. So we marked off all the plants and then we got maybe one or two flowers because I think the bunny found them and ate them. Eat the flowers. And then my office manager, Amy, says he deserves to eat it because we're in their space. They're not in ours. So so it's easy to forget that the world exists outside your window. So having a habit of being outdoors can be really good for your immunity, your eyesight, your emotional well-being, preventing you from getting it from various illnesses, at restoring your brain, giving you motivation to exercise, and definitely improving your sleep and your breathing. So, all right. So that's the benefits of being outdoors. Okay. Here's specific health benefits of being at the beach, where I was. I spent a couple of days at the beach. The power of vitamin C, that's S-E-A. And, you know, I have another shirt that says I need vitamin C. And I'm not wearing that one. I'm wearing the Venice Island one. But there are good health benefits of being at the beach. And they're similar to just plain being outside. So going to the beach helps you to reduce stress. What a shock. So, you know, not everybody likes the beach. My mom's not crazy about the beach. You're not crazy about the beach,
not
right?
Crazy about the beach.
No. And this is something to think about, having a sip of water. With electrolytes. Okay. When we studied homeopathy when I was in naturopathic college, we talked about how there are different constitutional types. And everybody has a leaning toward a specific archetype. And also, everybody is an individual. So, because there is so much individuality, obviously there is... people are different from one another. And people resonate with various different things. And one of the things they resonate with differently is nature. So people, I'm often asking my patients, what's your favorite nature? And what I mean by that is, do you like the mountains? Do you like the woods? Do you like being in the city streets? Because some people do. Do you like being in your yard? Do you like being by water? If you like being by water, would you prefer a pond, a lake, a river, or the beach? And I encourage them to go spend time at whatever their favorite is. And I don't assume that my favorite is going to be their favorite. Mind you, I would say my favorite is probably the beach, but I like water. I like being by water, and being by a really nice lake would be fine for me. I think my favorite is the beach, but It doesn't have to be the beach. Being near water is great. Being near a river or being near a lake, especially if I can get into it. I like being in water. And I would say my two favorite places to swim would be a lake and a lake in the ocean. And the nice thing about going to the Gulf, because my mother lives on the Gulf Coast, is that it's very calm. I mean, there's little bit of waves, but it's not as wavy as the Atlantic coast, where there are big waves, which is fun too. But the nice thing about being in the Gulf is if you get past the breakers, it's very calm and it's very peaceful. And so you can get in the water and it's usually pretty warm. When I was there, the water temperature was 84 degrees. If you go down to, I hear from my friend Diane, who loves to go to Waterford Beach, water temperature down there is down to 65 degrees. She's still getting in it. Good for her. And my friends Amanda and Marcy, they're still training to swim in lakes right now. And Marcy can handle very cold temperatures. Amanda, not so much. So there's a nice picture of Amanda with her full wetsuit on. And she swam. And she has a cap on and a full wetsuit and booties. But she got in. So anyway, going to the beach is a great place to de-stress. And research shows this. Listening to the sound of the ocean can enhance relaxation, and listening to the ocean can decrease your blood pressure and lower cortisol. So no wonder I like to go to the beach. So I should probably go down there even if I'm not going to get in the water. Like just go down to Rocky Neck or to Niantic and just stand there. Or even if I have time, drive down to Westerly, even if I'm not going to go swimming. And I love to walk at Napa Tree Beach. And I like it there because Napa Tree Point faces west. So even though, you know, we're on the Atlantic, you know, Rhode Island's kind of funny because it has a south coast. And so does the Sound. But Napa Tree Point, you can walk to the end of it, or you can be on Napa Tree Point and you can see west, so you can watch the sunset. And of course, if you're on the Gulf Coast, you can also watch the sunset. And people go specifically to the beach on the Gulf Coast, and they sit and they watch the sunset, and they watch it go down and go down and go down. And then once it drops below the horizon, everybody claps. It's nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Walking on the beach does great things for your mood, especially if you're tense or stressed. It's re-energizing, and it can help your brain to perform well. As you know, stress can lead to all kinds of illnesses. And I have to say that the number one thing that I treat in my practice is not allergies. It's not digestive upset. It's not cardiovascular disease. It's stress. Every single person that comes in gets a discussion of what their stressors are and how to moderate stress. And really, if you did nothing but moderate your stress, it would probably help you with whatever condition that you have. When you go to the beach, you can make vitamin D and other stuff. So vitamin D is good for your immune system. It's good for your metabolism. It helps to bone and tooth growth. It helps with fat loss. It helps to fight illnesses. Of course, when you go sunbathing, you have to be careful if the sun is very bright. You do want to use some kind of a natural sunscreen. And my favorite sunscreens have things like zinc or titanium in them and non-nanoparticles, so that they just sit on the surface of your skin and they're reflective and you're not going to absorb them. And when you're done with them, they just wash off so you don't absorb them. And you can wear... You can wear clothing with sun protection in them too. So then there's earthing. I didn't talk about that when we were just talking about being outside. But it's very grounding to be on the earth, to have your body skin to skin on the earth. So if you're sitting at the beach, I mean, you don't have to lie your whole body in the sand if you don't want to, but at least putting your feet in the sand is a good thing. And certainly walking barefoot in the sand is a great thing. So you walk in the sand or the grass or soil, so you're getting energy from the earth. What you're getting is you're getting negative ions, and the negative ions are a result of plant metabolism, metabolism of the plants and metabolism of the microorganisms in the soil. So you get these negative ions, and the inflammatory compounds in your body tend to be positively charged, so they help to neutralize them. And earthing has actually been studied. It's not an esoteric concept. It's a real thing. So if you get to go barefoot, or like, so if you're a tenderfoot like Ron and you want to get the benefits of earthing, this is where, you know, we talk about tree huggers, right? Mm-hmm. Tree hugging is good for you, actually, because of the negative ions. So somebody like Ron, who isn't going to go barefoot because he's a tenderfoot, it's because he has high arches and tight fashion like that. So he can get his hands in the dirt. You know, he can plant, he can garden, he can touch plants, pick plants, work with plants, and just, you know, interact with the plants with his hands, and that will be fine. Or lie on the ground with your hands bare. There gets to be a time of year where that's hard to do because it's just too cold. But during the time of year that you can, it's a good idea. And that's why it would be great to have a sunroom, because then we'll get the sun in. And sunrooms are naturally, as you said, they're passive solar, they're warmer. So even in colder times of year, we might be able to crack the windows a little bit. Okay. And then there's at the beach, you can do exercise and sports. When I was at Venice Beach, they have nets set up and people go and play beach volleyball. So it's like watching, you know, those Olympic volleyball players, but it's just regular people. And, you know, there'll be three people on a side and they're playing beach volleyball and it looks like they're having a good time. It's very nice. And you can walk on the sand. You can run on the sand. You can swim in the ocean. As we said, beach volleyball. And people do all kinds of water sports. So they might surf or just boogie board or row or canoe or kayak. All of those things are accessible in the sand. So you get fit being at the beach. And you get stronger. You can develop your muscles. The other thing that you can do at the beach is yoga. When you go to Venice Beach, they have Ellen Larson has... There's a circle of shells right in front of the pavilion, and there's beach yoga, and the beach yoga happens pretty much every morning and evening, and the teacher stands in the middle of the circle of shells, and everybody gathers around her. And in the wintertime, here is of course very cold, and down there it's not so cold, and that's what they call season when everybody is down there. She can have hundreds of people doing beach yoga with her. It's amazing.
It is.
Yeah. And this time of year, I mean, I went to a class on, I think, Thursday night, and there was about maybe 10 people, which is, that's decent for a yoga studio. It's a little light for here, but September is not season. So season runs from, I don't know when you would consider the beginning of season. Is it November or... December. It's certainly December, certainly Christmas time, through April, you know. May is the beginning of May is the end of season, because I go in May and there's nobody there anymore. You know, it's much less busy because it gets really hot there, and it gets nice up here, so people tend to go home if they are snowbirds. So anyway, beach yoga is totally a thing down there. Ocean air, again, has a soothing effect. And ocean air has, ocean air has the negative ions in it. The scent of it is pleasant, but also it just talks about the negative ions. Negative ions balance your serotonin levels. And serotonin is one of the hormones that make you feel happy and relaxed. People who have depression and anxiety, are recommended to go for negative ion therapy. So getting outside. So negative ion, this is something I didn't realize, that negative ions actually boost your serotonin, which is going to be directly helpful for calming, for sleep, and for mood. And so that's one of the benefits. I mean, I always understood that negative ions are anti-inflammatory, but I did not realize that they actually boost serotonin. So that's a really good thing. Seawater can help you with arthritis. When you soak in seawater, our skin, to an extent, absorbs some of the salt, and it can help to dehydrate our inflamed cells. So so you get osmosis. So if you have swelling, you get osmosis, and you have a situation where you have that seawater has more salt per unit volume than our bodies do. So when you get into seawater, you're going to have an osmotic effect. You're going to lose some of the, if there's excessive fluid that's accessible to your skin, you're going to lose some of that when you go in the ocean. So one of the things to make sure you do is if you, when you get out of the oceans, drink a lot of water so that you aren't dehydrated, then you rehydrate with clean water. So you are going to get this osmotic effect. You also have the buoyancy of the water. And the buoyancy makes it so that you have less gravity affecting your joints, and that feels really nice. And the other thing is you have hydrostatic pressure of the water. Getting in any kind of water is going to provide you with the hydrostatic pressure, which is why I tell my patients who have any kind of body aches and pains to get into some kind of water, whether it's a therapy pool or a regular pool or any kind of natural body of water. But seawater has the minerals as well. And so that offers the buoyancy. It offers the osmotic effect of removing inflammatory compounds from your body, and because of the osmotic effect of removing the excess water, and the hydrostatic pressure. Hydrostatic pressure means the water is pushing against your capillaries, which is going to move fluid through your capillaries more, and so it moves interstitial water that's in between cells into the capillaries. So now you have more water in your capillaries. It goes to your kidneys, and your kidneys want to excrete more water, which is why hydrostatic immersion diuresis is a thing. So you'll find that if you spend a lot of time in the water, you're going to have to go to the bathroom. And I'm not one to, let go in the ocean. I prefer, and one of the nice things about Venice Beach is the bathroom's right there. So I get out and I go use the bathroom. But
you wouldn't want to pee in the ocean.
No, I don't. I just can't do it.
You know what they say about, what is it? Dilution is the solution for pollution.
Whatever.
Right. Do you know how much water there is in the Gulf?
And so there.
And how much water is coming out of you?
You make a good point. However, one of the things that happens is when they have a drought, and this was a problem, they closed Siesta Key Beach because it had too many coliforms.
Okay.
So as much as you say that, people get in and, they're hopefully not doing the other thing in the water. But, when you get in the water, it's going to wash away some of the stuff on your body. Mm. So there are coliforms on your body that when you get in, and if the... if there's a drought, there's some dehydration. There's enough dehydration that can happen in local beaches that you can get into a coliform situation. And they closed a couple of the beaches when I was down there. They closed Siesta Key, and I think they closed, might have been Minnesota, or maybe it was Casperson. I can't remember, but it wasn't Venice Beach. Thank goodness. So I was able to go on Venice Beach every day. And then they reopened one of them. There was some rain that happened, and they reopened it. So people who are exposed to seawater, will have better help for their joints. One of the things that happened is, people in Eastern Europe, they really like to take the waters, and there's a town called Northport. That's not too far from Venice. It's maybe 20 minutes from Venice, something like that. And there's mineral springs there, and there's warm mineral springs. And a community of Russian and other Eastern European people moved to the area so they could be near the warm mineral springs and just go in anytime. And the other thing I will notice is that if there are not a lot of people in the water at Venice Beach, the people that are there, somebody's going to be speaking Russian. Russian or Ukrainian, or I met a woman who was from Belarusia there, because they believe in getting in natural bodies of water. And Americans, not so much. I mean, people do like to go to the beach in the United States, but and people do it for health reasons, and they're right. I agree with them. It makes me want to learn Russian so I can chat with these people. The beach helps with happiness and creativity when it can be inspiring. Artists and writers like to go there and get inspired. And the beach can help increase creativity and insight at, because of all the different health benefits. Probably because one of the things I was doing, I was watching a guy, I watched a TED Talk with the guy whose first name is Light. I can't remember his last name, but it was a great TED Talk. And he talked about the five myths about of meditation. And it was very interesting. And I will probably, I'll probably talk about that next week because that
Light
was very interesting.
Light is an L-I-G-H-T.
The guy's name is Light. And he was a very attractive man, and he was very down to earth and very easy to listen to. And he talked about the five myths of meditation. One of the things he said is that it is good for you to do a sort of meditation where you just lie down or sit and let your mind drift. One of the myths of meditation is that you are supposed to bring...
My mind does that every day.
It's good for you. But if you don't fight it and you allow yourself to do it, it's actually good for your brain. And one of the myths of meditation that he talked about...
Here it is.
Ah, here they right are. There. The five myths of meditation. We'll go into that in detail another
right.
time. But myth number two is meditating is about having no thoughts. He said, that's wrong. You're a human being and you're not going to not have thoughts. What you do is you let the thoughts happen and you go back to the breathing and just merely observe the thoughts. And he said that the kind of meditation where you just lie there and let your mind flow free and wander is still good for your brain. It's very detoxifying.
There he
and
is, right there.
When you, that's the TED Talk. Mm-hmm. So what's the guy's name? Light? Yeah, if you click on it, it'll say, that's the TED Talk. That's it right there. We should watch it.
Sure,
it's very good.
there's
the ad.
Simple vision test.
Yeah, so Light Watkins, that's the guy's name. I watched that with my mother. It was very good.
Yeah.
And so just know that if you go outside and sit, so if, at this time of year in New England, you might need a blanket or some sweats or something. But if you go sit on the beach or you sit anywhere and let your mind just flow free, that's good for you. That's detoxifying for your brain. You can do it indoors too. But that kind of meditation is actually helpful for you. So don't judge yourself if you meditate and you have thoughts. Just observe the thoughts, let them drift by like clouds, and go back to your breathing. That's all you have to do. So being at the beach allows this to happen. It encourages you to happen, encourages this to happen more. So get your beach time. It's really good for you. Nate, science says so. So how cool is that? All right. So let's do some benefits of vitamin D and then we'll wrap up. How about
okay.
Okay. So vitamin D, I haven't talked about the benefits of vitamin D in a long time. It's really good for you. Getting enough helps you to develop your bones and teeth, and it can help with your resistance to certain illnesses. But so there are specific illnesses that vitamin D can be helpful with. One of them is multiple sclerosis, and that's been studied. You want to get, if you're diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, you want to make sure that your vitamin D is at a certain level. And my understanding is that the research shows that you want to get your vitamin D tested, make sure that you're between 35 and 45 nanograms per milliliter. And you don't need to be more than 45 nanograms per milliliter. Once you start to get above 55, you can get some health issues like calcifications and toxicity. So you can get more likely to get kidney stones. So 35 to 45 nanograms per milliliter is plenty. And so I've started giving my patients lower doses of vitamin D than I used to. And if I see that they're sitting in the 60s and 70s, I'm like, you can back off. And you'll save a little money, too. And you decrease your chance of heart disease because if you have low vitamin D, you're more likely to have high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, stroke. And it's not clear if that's because it's direct or it's because you have other things going on when you have low vitamin D. You're less likely to have severe chronic illnesses like the flu and COVID-19 are going to be, the severe flu and COVID-19 are going to be less likely if you have adequate vitamin D. And a lot of people don't know about this and don't take vitamin D.
Sorry.
It supports your immune health in general. People without adequate vitamin D could be at increased risk of infections, autoimmune conditions, rheumatoid arthritis. Vitamin D is another thing that can be helpful for mood. And I have had patients who say when my vitamin D level gets low, my mood gets worse. And so I have to make sure I'm taking my vitamin D regularly and that it's in a place where it needs to be. Vitamin D might help you with fat loss. If your vitamin D is low, your metabolism isn't going to run as well. And there are studies where they show that people with adequate vitamin D lost weight more readily than people with inadequate vitamin D. So vitamin D, it can be hard to get vitamin D sometimes. If you live in an area where there's a lot of pollution, if you use a lot of sunscreen, you will not absorb as much vitamin D. If you spend too much time inside, obviously, if you live in a big city where the buildings block the light. Also, if you have darker skin, when you have higher levels of melanin, the less vitamin D your skin can create. So if you have darker skin, get your vitamin D checked. And if you have to, the thing is, people with darker skin tend to do better closer to the equator. And that's where people like that tend to thrive, where you see people with lighter, people who are or originate from further north tend to be lighter skinned. So now we have diversity and people live everywhere all over the world. So you have people of all different colors living all different places. And you have people who with darker skin living in northern climates. So if you have darker skin, please get somebody to check your vitamin D and take some if you need it. You might be tired, achy, and have pain. You have muscle or bone weakness. And you might have, I mean, there's severe vitamin D deficiency where you get osteomalacia, where you break down with, so that you break down of bones. There is vitamin D toxicity, nausea, apathy, vomiting, abdominal pain. It's very hard to get to that place. There are food sources, salmon, sardines, herring, canned tuna, mostly fish, egg yolks, shrimp, mushrooms, and those treated with ultraviolet light, fortified milk, some cereals, and yogurt. So there you go. So that was your vitamin D 101. All right, so I'm going to go, and next week we'll talk about vitamin C, and then we'll get into some health benefits of some stuff about Lyme disease. Okay. So, you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org.